You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday. Welcome to the program. Ryan in Honolulu yesterday to close out the show. I was laughing after the show. Yesterday afternoon, I just started laughing. And my wife goes, "What's so funny?" I go, "Dead dad humor." And she goes, "What?" And I had to explain, and she still didn't think it was funny. And she goes, "Why do you make fun of the fact your dad is dead?" I go, "No, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying I'm, never mind." It's one of those, never mind, you wouldn't get it. And his father-in-law, they just had the funeral. It was like the day before. Yeah, see.
I'm a little troubled that Ryan is having so much fun with his father-in-law being dead. Is he allowed to make that joke?
Well, I just wonder how his wife is taking this, because I can say something about my father, but I'd have to check with my wife if I was talking about her father being dead. Yes, Todd?
I've met Ryan and his wife in Hawaii, and she seems very supportive, but there's got to be a line for everyone, I would think, especially when you're talking about comments, like jokes like that on national radio and TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the program.
Because when you're doing it about your own dad, it's like one thing, but then he's like, "My father-in-law's dead!" Like, I don't know that you're allowed to be that happy about that.
The audience was like him, a little stiff. I got a cold reception. Yeah, Paul.
I don't know his wife's reaction, but remember, aloha also means goodbye.
Yeah. I agree. I was going to do all the, you know, paperwork I normally do when I start the show, but Paulie stopped me in my tracks as I was walking over here on my side, getting ready to prepare for this award-nominated program. And Paulie goes, "Stop. Don't check your email. No social media." And I go, "Well, what's the story? Let me get everybody in here." And he's like, "Paulie's real serious." And I go, "You're not landing planes at LAX here." But he gave me that stuff. And I go, "Okay." And I said, "Is this the tear up the rundown? We're going to change it. Like, does this change the complexion of the show here?" And he said, "Nobody check their social media.
Do we need to unbook guests and rebook new ones?"
I said, "Well, you got to let me know here, Paulie. I'm going on the air in a couple of minutes."
I was kind of hoping that this piece of news could be broken on the air with our room.
Okay, well then, wait, did somebody check? I didn't check my social media. McLovin, did you do it?
No, but I got like 4 texts on my phone from my fantasy football partners that are implying one way or the other.
Okay.
You could have not checked your phone for 2 minutes.
Didn't we say
it
not
lit
to
up
check?
Right? It's right in front of me, and it lit up, and it said,
"You do this all the time."
No, I didn't check. And by the way, whatever. This is so obvious.
I think you're lying.
I just got this text from John Hershey. It says, "Can't wait for blank to start for us."
Okay. All right, Paulie, here's, Paulie lives for this stuff, McLovin.
Breaking news.
All right.
Is it really breaking news?
But Paulie gave away too many clues. He wasn't neutral enough to not imply who is going to win the job.
All right. Paulie, set up the topic.
Okay. This is, no one in the room knows the answer to this question. Blank has been named the starter for the New Orleans Saints. Blank has been named the starter for New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Anybody have a guess?
I'm going to stay with the guess I've had for months now. It's Jameis Winston.
It seems so obvious to me that it has to be Jameis Winston.
Mm. McLovin?
If it wasn't Jameis Winston's, Paul's head would have been on fire, and it was not. And by the way, if it's Taysom, then we're all wrong. But based on the way Paulie introduced the topic, it's exciting, but it's not rip up the rundown exciting.
Okay.
So now I think, though, that it's more exciting for Paul because I think he believes Taysom Hill should be the starter, and he's not. So now he's like, that's what has him so excited about this story.
Okay. Can we get the news out first, and then we can start to editorialize?
Pretty soon, but I think McLovin is the I think McLovin's the Taysom Hillist in the room, because I actually was jabbing Taysom Hill, and McLovin went to war with me yesterday off air, saying, "You know, Taysom Hill's numbers, look at them; they're really nice. They're not bad."
You did go. You are a Taysom Hillist.
Well, you guys can't get over his BYU. The fact that he couldn't play quarterback at all at BYU, he's raised the bar a little bit.
Okay, raise the bar from what?
Well, if you look at his stats last year, if you didn't know his name was Taysom Hill, you'd be like, "Oh, okay, that's a borderline Pro Bowl quarterback." All he was throwing for like 300 yards a game, winning.
Okay.
If the Saints somehow announced that Blaine Gabbert was the starter, I would be shocked. Like, whoa, I didn't even realize they got him back.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Okay. The starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints will be in week one.
Yeah, it's Jameis Winston.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
Oh, my God. The way Paulie reacted to this, like he turned around from his desk, almost like he was playing the role of a producer, turns around and says, stop right now. And I went, okay, what? And then he goes, don't check your social media. And I'm like, I don't check social media. All right, nobody in the room. Then he waited till all the Danettes came in.
Once in a while it works. Today it didn't work. We gave it a shot.
No.
Nobody in the room.
Yeah. Nobody in the room. Check your social media.
Fritzy's on some questionable website. I didn't have to worry about him.
I was a little distracted.
Oh, this program brought to you by MDrive, mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. You can compete with the younger guys. MDrive, the supplement for driven guys that supports healthy testosterone levels while boosting energy and strength. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with MDrive. All right, welcome to the program. Already in progress. Final week of the preseason kicks off tonight. First time the NFL has had just three preseason games. Different philosophies coming up tonight. Do you play your starters? How long do you play your starters? Or is this about backups? Because normally that final preseason game is about guys trying to make the roster. And think about this. There are guys who are playing tonight or this weekend who may not play football again, and they've been preparing all their life for this moment to make a team, stay with the team, and that performance tonight could gain them the last spot on the roster, maybe the practice squad. It's a little bit different, and if you watch Hard Knocks, you know the human side of sports, certainly this moment in the preseason, it's a big deal. It's not the best football, I think we can all agree on that, but the chance to tune into a game late in that game, and just remember that these guys still going for their NFL dreams coming up tonight. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that forthcoming. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. We say good morning to our streaming partner, Peacock. Download the app, watch for free, and also our radio affiliates around the country. It is a Friday. That's a meat Friday. Three of the four Traeger grills are fired up. Barbecue chicken bacon ranch sandwiches.
What? Whoa.
Brown sugar and bacon wrapped smokies.
Like little hot dogs.
Little smokies.
Yeah.
How many seconds does that take off our life each smoking again? Right. Remember earlier this week we had the story,
right.
35.
No, Paul.
35 seconds per hot dog or something.
35 minutes per hot dog. We did the math. And if
35
you have,
minutes?
Yeah.
Per
each hot dog.
Holy smokes.
According to a health study, takes 35 minutes off your life.
Right. So if you're a 50-year-old man and you've had 20 hot dogs a year, you've cut 24 days off your life on the back end.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're 89 and a half or 89 and three quarters, all those hot dogs were awesome.
Because when I get to be 89, I'm going to guess the final 24 days aren't going to be very good, right? So, all right, I'll give up 24 on the back end. Yeah, all right. I'm fine with it. Yeah, McLeod.
But for hot dogs, maybe for pizza or ice cream. But I don't. I know Paulie does, but I don't put hot dogs in that, anywhere near that category.
Man.
What's your past 8 years old?
There's something, really?
Because
then you move on to more mature food like pizza and ice cream. Yeah,
so then you go to sausage.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm going to leave that at the kids' table, those hot dogs.
Yeah, barbecue with the basics of hot dogs and hamburgers and going to a ball game. Imagine going your whole life to sporting events, especially a ballpark, and staying away from hot dogs because you have this nutrition fear.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
There's the grill makes the hot dog. Like, there's just something about a grill that's been used quite a bit, and you put that hot dog on there, and it's still good to go. You toast the bun, and I had one the other day playing golf. Made the turn. Said, I'm going to get a dog because it had to be National Hot Dog Day or week or month or who knows. It feels like that with Paulie. You know, yesterday was National Dog Day. We didn't celebrate.
Like your puppies.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. My puppy didn't get a day. We didn't celebrate. But if it was National Hot Dog Day, Chili Dog Day, put onions on a dog day. Yes, McLean.
It was super hot yesterday, too, and it was
hot
National
Dog. Okay, thank you. Whew, it's It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it? I think so.
Already is.
Oh, by the way, we got a new imitation. Now, Jimmy Jimerson is really setting the sports world on fire. He's our resident analyst who doesn't say anything, but takes a long time to not say anything. Give us a sample, Jimmy Jimerson. The New Orleans Saints have named Jameis Winston. Let's go to our former NFL player and our analyst, Jimmy Jimerson. Jim?
Look, anyone who's been following the preseason knew it was Jameis all along, okay? And now I've talked to people in the locker room, and to a man, they all said Jameis was the guy. So it's really not much of a surprise at all.
To a man. Wow, that's when it gets serious.
To a man,
when
they
the
said
analyst
this.
Says, it is what it is. When is it not, it is what it is?
At the end of the day, sometimes it isn't is what it is.
To a man, at right. the end of the day, it is
might
what
not
it is.
Be what it was.
Yeah. In the National Football League.
In the National Football
okay,
League.
Okay, so Seton's got a new impersonation. And I didn't realize that he had this in him, but earlier this morning, he was laughing. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I got a new impersonation. Okay. I don't know if anybody else is doing this impersonation, but somebody's going to have to let me know if this is a good impersonation. Here it is, Seton O'Connor with his Ezekiel Elliott impersonation.
Oh, no.
Well, if you watch Hard Knocks, Ezekiel Elliott is either doing one of two things. He's either eating a bunch of snacks, usually super sugary snacks, or... All he does is laugh. Which is funny for me to say, but all he does is he'll be sitting in like the quarterback meeting for some reason, sitting next to Dak. Oh my gosh.
It's almost like Darius Rucker.
It's a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Premier League, catch all the matches all week long. You can check out the schedule. Don't forget to sign up for Peacock. Make sure you don't miss a match. Go to peacocktv.com to get started. Ronaldo headed to the Premier League, maybe. Doesn't it get, don't you get the feeling nobody else wants Ronaldo, that he's almost saying, hey, anybody interested in me? Roger Bennett. Men in Blazers will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk about that. I think you got your Super League. I think with Messi, like it's, I don't know, they're moving parts here, but we'll talk to Roger Bennett about that big move that Ronaldo may be going to the Premier League, the Premiership. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have?
Do we do the food poll question? You can only have one of these foods on your desert island. Do you think hot dog can battle my pizza and ice cream?
Okay.
No,
what else do you have?
Okay. You can only watch one this weekend. And this is going to sound like a slam dunk, but it's not. College football week zero.
Okay. First of all,
yeah.
I hate that week zero stuff. I mean, if you're playing this weekend and it's week zero and it's being called that, referred to that.
Does week zero even count?
It shouldn't. It's week zero.
It's week zero. Then why isn't it week one?
I don't know. Like Nebraska and Illinois are playing, UCLA and Hawaii are playing. Why do I have to have week zero? Like, unless Coke Zero is sponsoring this, then you shouldn't put week zero on that. Yeah, Paul.
It's a small slate. I don't think College Game Day is going to UTEP, New Mexico State. So it's almost like it feels like it's a primer. They have a weekend with no NFL football. And they throw out five games nationally.
Okay, but just because College Game Day is not going anywhere doesn't mean it's not a true college football week. All right.
Well, I think they want to. Is it because they want to make week one a big deal? The kickoff game, Alabama, Miami, is like everything is focused on that.
Okay, but week zero, could they come up with something different? Or just say college football this week? Why do we have to label everything? Right? This is just college football. You don't want to have opening week or whatever it is, then just say, hey, college football this weekend. Then you want to go, hey, it's the official opening day of college football. Yeah, Paul.
Next weekend is saucy, by the way. Holy cow. Look at this.
And that's week one.
On ESPN.com, it says week two scoreboard. Actually, it says week one scoreboard. Twice. It says week one this weekend and next weekend. Huh. They don't have week zero. Huh. Next weekend's slate. You got Penn State, Wisconsin, Alabama, Miami, Indiana, Iowa. What a great weekend. Louisiana, Texas. The Raging Cajuns are ranked.
Nebraska and Illinois have to be playing at noon, right?
noon champagne time. Oh, yeah. Champagne, or I don't know if it's in Champagne.
Is it nooner or at 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
You got Georgia Clemson next week. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
The week zero thing is not only is that insulting, but think about baseball. Not everyone plays the first day of the baseball season. So it's opening day for some teams, and then you have to call it something else for the other teams that play their first games the second or third day on the calendar. It's really, I would find it extremely insulting, even though I know they're trying to get a couple teams some national exposure that they normally wouldn't get early.
17 after the hour, we'll take a break.
I think I just pulled the Jimmy Jimmers in there. Did I just say a whole bunch of nothing?
You did.
I think I might have said a bunch of stuff that didn't really amount to a lot.
Okay, fine. I'll admit it. My Jimmy Jamerson impression is of Todd.
You know, I had two analysts. I had two NFL analysts. One does college as well. And he goes, are you guys making fun of me? Both guys. And I go, no, why would you think that? If you're, you know, saying something as an analyst, then no. Jimmy Jimerson only makes fun of the analyst who talks but doesn't say anything. Yeah, McLovin.
And the irony is he's dead wrong, too, because MLB just changed it so all the teams open on the same day because teams didn't like being stacked like that.
Thank you.
As well they should. Everyone should play on the first
day. All right, let me take a break here.
Glad we took care of that.
Let me take a break. Got a lot accomplished here. And we're only 17 minutes into this show. We'll take a break back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. I gave the house credit card, the Discover credit card, to Tyler, the moderator.
Did you get roughed up?
Not too bad. He tells me what he's spending. The barbecue chicken bacon ranch sandwiches. I hope it's not ranch dressing. Brown sugar and bacon wrap Little Smokies. He bought that yesterday. When you use your Discover credit card, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you have a podcast idea, I have a place for you to talk about it. The Next Great Podcast is what it's called. It's back for season 2, 1,800 entries. We narrowed it down to 10 finalists. Get a budget, the opportunity to produce a pilot episode of your podcast, and then we'll have an overall winner. You have until September 17th to submit. Just go to danpatrick.com, follow the link, and submit your idea, The Next Great Podcast. Before we get to the great Ross Tucker, let's get to Chris in Maryland, who joins us on the program. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Dan, what's going on? I had a quick question for you. So I'm reading this book by Bill Hennessy about the Patriots dynasty.
All right.
And there's a section in there that talks about when Belichick resigned as head coach of the Jets, that crazy press conference. And I just don't have a big memory of it. So I'm sort of curious, like you as a journalist, what was that like to cover?
I was covering it from afar because, you know, the guys who were doing that every single day being there, it was different. Being at SportsCenter, we weren't, at least I don't remember how much coverage we gave to it. It was just so bizarre that he was there and then he was gone. Like, wait, he just quit? And then he was going to New England. McLovin, do you have any recollection?
No, just like you said, it was real quick, as I recall. But I was going to say that you did interview Parcells a lot.
Yeah. Well, I covered the Giants when I was at CNN. That was with Phil Simms and Joe Morris and LT, Bill Parcells, that group. But no, I wasn't around. And I saw Belichick, but nobody thought Belichick was going to be Belichick. It was just, that's the defensive coordinator. Yeah,
but you couldn't interview him right by. Didn't Parcells famously not allow his assistant? Did you ever like talk casually to Belichick back in the day?
No. And I still haven't after all these years. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Belichick. No, there was the night of the butt fumble. And I was on the sidelines with Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison, and it was halftime, or at least getting close to halftime, I think, and Belichick walked out, shook hands with Rodney, shook hands with Tony, and he just kept walking by me. And I went, hey, coach. And Belichick just kept walking. Ross Tucker played for Bill Belichick. Did you ever talk to Bill Belichick while you played in New England, Ross?
Yeah, three times, I think.
Okay. How long were those three conversations?
Actually, you know what? Four times. The first three were probably 3 to 5 words, I would say. The last time we actually had a sit down was when he traded me to Cleveland. That was the only time I actually had a conversation with him. No, and they signed me midway, Dan, through the 05 season. I just went in the team meeting room, and it was the first meeting, and he walked up the steps to meet me, and I stand up to shake his hand. He says, "You don't have to stand up." And that was it. And then about a week later in practice, I fell on the ground, and he had this really interesting way and ability to talk to you without anybody else knowing he was talking to you as he was walking by you. So I fell in practice. All of a sudden, like behind my right ear, I heard somebody say, "Stay off the freaking ground, Tucker." And then when we played Jacksonville in the playoffs, Jacksonville's starting center was actually my teammate at Princeton. And he said, like over my left shoulder, walking away, "We got half the Princeton offensive line in this game." Those are the only three things he said to me, Dan, until I got traded to Cleveland. I promise you.
Did he know your name?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't ever use it, but I think he was generally aware of it, yes.
All right, full introduction. Ross will be on the call tonight. The Eagles at the Jets, 7:30 Eastern on the Eagles television network. A couple of things here that we'll get to. Who do you think has a better chance get back to the Super Bowl, Chiefs or the Buccaneers?
I'll say Bucks, and I'll say the Bucks for two reasons. Number one, I think the NFC is easier. You know, you look at the AFC, I think Buffalo's legit, Cleveland's legit, Baltimore has a shot, even maybe Pittsburgh has an outside shot. You look at the NFC, Dan, how many teams in the NFC do we really think can beat Tom Brady and this Buccaneers team in the playoffs? I think Green Bay, maybe. I guess one of the NFC West teams, if Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford goes crazy, but I don't see it happening. So the combination of the NFC being easier and the Chiefs essentially having three rookie offensive linemen starting at center, right guard, and right tackle, I'll lean with the Bucs.
Handicap the NFC East for me. Washington ended up winning that division, but you're looking at a division that might be the worst division in football.
I think it's pretty jumbled again, man. I really do. I think all four teams probably win between 7 and 10 games, maybe 6 and 10 games. I happen to think, and people will say I'm biased, but I think the Eagles are going to be better than outside opinions seem to think. They have a top five offensive line and defensive line if those guys stay healthy. And Carson Wentz, unfortunately, led the NFL in interceptions and sacks last year and didn't play the last four games. I mean, think about basketball or baseball, these other sports, Dan. You lead the league in two categories and you don't play 25% of the season. If Hurts just throws five less interceptions and takes five less sacks, there's a couple wins right there. The team I don't have a great handle on is the Giants. I think Washington is the favorite. I know everybody says Dallas. To me, Dallas still has issues on defense, and there's a lot of injury concerns there. Dak and Amari Cooper, the offensive line still. I think Washington, they won the division last year. The defense is beastly. I like some of their additions, and I think they're going to get much better quarterback play in Ryan Fitzpatrick than they got from Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins last year.
Yeah, the defense is going to be elite. It'll be right there with the Rams as the best defense in football. My concerns are the skilled position players for Washington and with Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's a great story, but he giveth and he taketh away. They don't have a great tight end. They don't have a great number one wide receiver. They don't have that marquee running back. Can you win with defense in the NFL? I guess that's what it comes down to because the Rams realized, hey, we can have a great defense. We still need to have offense. Let's go out and get Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, well, so for the Washington skill guys, I think they're all probably a little bit better than you give them credit for. Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson. And your point about Fitz is well taken, Dan. every fourth game or so, he has a bad game, right? But they don't need to go 14-3 or 13-4. They probably only need to win 10 or 11 games. So he can have a fit stinker, you know, every fourth or fifth game, as long as the other three or four he plays well.
So there's Fitz magic and Fitz stinker.
I just made that up, and I'm actually really good friends with him, and I'm probably going to hear about this later. I don't know where that came from, and I apologize to everyone.
Did you face him in college?
No, he was, I think he was a freshman when I was a senior. And it's a shame that evidently he wasn't able to get accepted to Princeton and go to the number one school in the country.
If I said you could never tell anybody you went to Princeton and never wear any kind of gear that said you went to Princeton, would you have gone to Princeton?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
You know why? Well, first of all, I don't need to say I went to Princeton because it seems like everybody already knows. The gear thing is an issue, though, Dan, because every time I go back, they give me a bunch of stuff. So I have like all my dry fit stuff is Princeton, which is hilarious because when I drop my daughters off at their private school, everybody looks at me as like I think I'm great or some academic snob. They have no idea. Meanwhile, I'm meathead James Vanderbeek. They think I like think I'm some academician. By the way, they all care way more about academics than I do.
Meathead James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, you see my shirt, Dan?
Let's see. No such thing as boneless wings. That's one of ours. That's an old school shirt.
That's right. I don't know if it's still available on the website, but it's one of my favorites because you wear this anywhere, especially if you wear this around fancy people. It sets a tone right away about where the conversation is going to be for the rest of that day.
He's Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Eagles preseason color analyst. Are you pro Cleveland Browns?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Their roster is so good. It's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? That, what was it, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they won one game. And now I'm not sure there's a better roster in the NFL top to bottom. I mean, it's right there with Buffalo and Tampa and Kansas City. Really, the difference between the Browns and those other three teams is whether or not Baker Mayfield can play at that high of a level. You know, the way Josh Allen played last year, Mahomes, of course, Brady, of course. But other than that, I mean, they get Odell Beckham Jr. back. They've got two good tight ends, the best offensive line in football, two good running backs. Now they've got a really good defensive line that they invested in. I love the guys they got in the secondary, like John Johnson from the Rams. It's kind of weird to be on your show talking about the Browns having – maybe the best roster in football, but it's a beautiful roster. They've done an awesome job.
Do they have a great quarterback or a good quarterback?
I think so far they have a good quarterback. I think Kevin Stefanski did an unbelievable job with them last year. And let's be honest, Dan, if you're playing behind the best O-line in the league and you have the best running back duo, and you're averaging whatever it is, over 5 yards a carry, and most of what you're doing in the passing game is off of bootlegs and play action, it would be really weird if Baker Mayfield hadn't played pretty well last year, right? Like, yeah, you're not going to get a better situation than Baker Mayfield had last year and has this year, which, by the way, is what makes the contract situation for him kind of interesting, right? Like, do you pay him over $40 million when I would venture to guess there's at least 20 guys in the NFL that could perform as well as Baker did last year under the same circumstances?
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't want to pay him too soon. Like, I might have to pay him a little bit more, but I want to see what this season's all about. Can you imagine your former coach, Bill Belichick, having a starting quarterback, Mac Jones, start the season opener?
I can. Yeah. You know, the fact that he put Brady in that second year after Bledsoe got hurt and then never put Bledsoe back in, I think Belichick just goes with who he thinks the better guy is. And that was proof of it. You know, Brady didn't really play that great while Bledsoe was hurt. They just won a bunch of games and they thought, we think he's playing a little better than Drew, but it wasn't like he was Tom Brady back then. I think if Belichick believes Mac Jones is 0.1% better than Cam Newton, that he'll start Mac Jones. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll start Cam Newton in the opener. But honestly, Dan, if Cam Newton has a bad first half in the opener, I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones goes in there.
It feels like the offense is built more for Mac Jones because Bill and Josh McDaniels are accustomed to that style of quarterback, that guy who has the same characteristics here. Cam is just a rental. The question is, how long are you renting him for? Because nobody else was interested in Cam Newton until Bill brought him in. You got running backs. You got a good offensive line. The defense will probably be formidable. Skill position, you brought in some, you know, new tight ends, but I don't know if it's a great offense here. That's why I still keep leaning towards Cam. I think Cam gives them a dimension that they need this year, where maybe they won't need that next year because they will go out and get a couple of wide receivers to help out Mac Jones. What do you think of that philosophy?
Totally agree. You know, I the Patriots played the Eagles last week, so I was talking with some people for the Patriots. Dan, they're going to run the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, their rookie running back, Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma, he is a stud. Their offensive line is legit. And I think, quite frankly, now that they have Mac Jones as a number two and even Brian Hoyer as a three, I think they're going to run Cam Newton a lot.
Yeah.
I think they think that's their way to win games, is to run the heck out of the ball. And I think they'd rather do that and have that element with Cam early and see how that goes.
Great to talk to you as always. We'll talk to you during the season. Have fun tonight. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure, Dan. I wanted to say congratulations on the Hall of Fame. To be honest, I kind of thought you were already in it, but congratulations. It's awesome.
Thank you, Ross. You're right. It was an oversight by the Hall of Fame. It took a little longer than it should, but thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
That's Ross Tucker, former NFL lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He'll be on the call for the Eagles at the Jets, 7:30 Eastern on the Eagles television network. Oh, look who called in. Look who got roughed up yesterday. The show's open. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back.
What up, though? One time for Chat Row, two time for the Backroom Bros. Listen here. Bob is an artist. He lulls you with the kind words and then kicks you right in the nads. I mean, my goodness. A floating trash brush, that means it's a steaming pile that's on the move, man. Come on now.
But, really? But is he accurate about Detroit sports teams?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
And look, this is the sad part, because I couldn't say, well, he's wrong, because I tell you, I was thinking that. I'm like, we're in purgatory. Everybody's rebuilding right now. Listen, and then yesterday was one of those shows, Dan, I had to pull over with Jimmy Jimerson and then Ryan and Hallelujah. Just hope he doesn't have to go to a family reunion with his wife's people in no time soon, because those 2 minutes were great.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great weekend. We'll take a break. Play of the Day is up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Initial offering belted. Deep center field. This ball is climbing. It is into the bullpen. It is a grand slam. And the Orioles have added separation against the Angels. 7-1. A pitch is up. And Severino clubs it over the wall at center.
Break up the Orioles. That It's courtesy of The Fan, 105.7, the Orioles Radio Network. Last time the O's won consecutive games, July 30th and 31st against the Tigers. That is your Play of the Day. Play of the Day is brought to you by the great folks at M-Drive. Keep up with the younger guys with M-Drive, the supplement for driven guys that supports healthy testosterone levels while boosting energy and strength. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. You know, the highlight of that game was Shohei Ohtani hit his home run. I think his 41st home run. That was the only run the Angels had. Like, nobody cares. Hey, the Orioles have won back-to-back games. It was, and here are the highlights. Shohei Ohtani with his 41st home run of the year. The Dodgers and the Padres played a combined 34 innings. The Dodgers held the Padres to a total of 5 runs on 10 hits in those 3 games, in that 3-game sweep. Hashtag, what rivalry. You know, I was mentioning, what are the great rivalries in baseball right now? And I was reminded of the fact the Dodgers and Astros, that will stay a rivalry. The question is, how many times do they play, and are they going to meet, you know, in the World Series again? But the Padres and Dodgers in the same division, the Giants and Dodgers has always been a great rivalry. The Red Sox and Yankees just doesn't feel like a rivalry. We love to focus on Yankees-Red Sox, but, you know, Tampa is still leading the division. Like that. We go, yeah, but it's still Tampa. You can't sell Tampa. But Red Sox-Yankees coming up, Sunday Night Baseball. All right. McLovin, you got poll question?
Couple of NFL options for you.
All right.
So for the first time probably all offseason, the Giants were the lead NFL story yesterday because Saquon Barkley came back to camp. Are the Giants the most boring team in the NFL? Here are my other options, wow. And you don't have to answer this.
Wow.
Boring in the sense that there's just not, they're not bad enough to gain attention, and they're not good enough to be a contender. The Giants are on there. The Panthers are probably on there. The Vikings, the Bengals, and the Raiders are the only ones I came up with.
No, the Bengals are interesting.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow.
You don't hear a lot about them this offseason, though, good or bad.
Well, if you do hear about them, then it's negative. Then you hear from the Bengal fans.
Also, I feel like the Browns coverage has eaten up a little bit of that whole division's coverage.
Oh, absolutely. You haven't heard much about the Ravens. You've heard about the Steelers because of Ben and his new diet. The Cowboys dwarf everybody because you got Dak back and you got a great offense here. And your number one pick was Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State. I don't think they're the favorites to win the NFC East. You know, I would think that the Washington football team would be. I'd put the Texans on there as a very, very dry team. There is no reason to watch a Texans game. Unless Deshaun Watson plays. But there was a report yesterday he could be a healthy scratch the entire season. They won't play at all. But I would say the Texans might be up there. Like, is there somebody that you would tune in, just anybody on the Texans, where you go, all right, I'll watch the game because of. You don't know anybody. Hopkins gone. J.J. Watt's gone. Deshaun Watson not playing. Coach you know nothing about. Like, they're just pedestrian. They might be the boringest team in the NFL. Yeah, Paul.
It's a good call about the Giants, though. They're kind of in no man's land where they don't stink, but they don't feel threatening. Their quarterback's name is Daniel Jones, yeah. Which screams excitement, mm-hmm. But he could be good. And Saquon Barkley didn't play much last year. He's a star, but it doesn't feel like he's on the field.
I just wonder about the Giants with Daniel Jones. This feels like you better kind of step up and be a little bit better or we're going to move on here. He gives you that impression sometimes like, wow, he's got talent. But I think they could be good. I don't think they can be great, but I think they can be good. But I don't know what difference Saquon Barkley's going to make for this team right now. Giants have some wide receivers. But Daniel Jones is going to be great. You know? Yes, McLovin.
But right, they signed Kenny Golladay. I think he's a pretty unknown to most NFL fans. I mean, I know they gave him pretty good money, yeah. But do you get excited about that? And the other off the Giants, the worst division in football poll, which we do pretty much every year, I tallied the win totals, and the NFC East, according to Vegas, does not have the least wins. There's another division with even less.
Projected for this year?
Yes, projected. I looked up the latest Vegas odds on CBSSports.com, and I added up the win totals for all four teams. There's another division that I found that's lower than the NFC East. And I'll give you a hint. It's dragged down by the bottom.
AFC South.
Yeah.
So the Jags and the Texans.
They drag them way down. They're the least wins and projected in the league.
How many wins do they have the Texans penciled in for?
Five. I don't know where those five. Well, they do have Tyrod Taylor, who always finds a way to win.
Yeah, but you don't want to win if you're the Texans.
Great point.
How many wins do they have for the Jags?
Six. Remember, there's an extra game. So I think that everybody's win total is pushed. The Texans are the least.
There's not five extra games.
Yeah, I know. The Texans are still last in the league on this list. So, but
are the Texans, who's going to have more wins? The Lions or the Texans, according to Vegas? By the way, Jared Goff will join us later in the show.
No offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the Texans as the only five-win team on this list.
The Lions aren't penciled in at five?
I got them at six on this list. Okay. You know, there's other odds out there.
Okay.
But the NFC East is just kind of mediocre. It's all the Cowboys at 9.5. The Washington.
They have Dallas at 9.5 wins.
Public money. Oh. People love to bet on them, boys.
Okay.
The Washington football team at eight. The Giants at seven. And the Eagles somehow at seven.
That's surprising.
Ross just got me a little excited.
Well, how can you have this great offensive line, but Carson Wentz was on a record-setting pace for getting sacked? But like now the line is healthy, and then Jalen Hurts is going to somehow be magical here. I like him as a bridge quarterback. I don't view Jalen Hurts as a starting quarterback, but when he came in, he gave him a lift. I just don't know how consistent he can be. And if you're just joining us, the Saints have named Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback. It's not breaking news. It's just news. Paulie's trying to make it breaking news. Yes, McLovin.
What do you think of that division? That feels like the Bucs and the rest.
Well, Ross Tucker was talking about, when you think about the NFC, the Bucs have an easier chance to repeat or at least get back to the Super Bowl. But, you know, keep in mind, New Orleans won the division last year. Tampa just got it together when they needed to get it together. There were lapses where you go, man, I think they were 7-5 at one point, and you go, I don't know. And then it just felt like everything fell in place, and that defense was awesome. But what do they have the Packers at over under? Is it 10?
I seeing the Green Bay Packers at 11 on this list.
Wow. Got a tough schedule, man. All right. 1 hour in the books. Two more to go. Get to your phone calls. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Final hour, Jared Goff will stop by. Dan and the Dan, it's Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out hour one. Go to rockauto.com for all the parts your car or truck will ever need. This is a family business founded back in 1999 by automotive engineers. They know the business. They know it inside and out. They had two goals in mind. Give you direct access to all the information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they wanted to make the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices. And rockauto.com not only has the parts you need, but will often give you a choice of brands, prices, and features. You're not going to waste time and money hunting for those parts, which means you're not going to be phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You don't have to do that. rockauto.com, one-stop shop. Go to rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them that we sent you. You can write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that you listened to the program. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Don't waste time phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You don't need to do that anymore. Go to rockauto.com and make sure you tell them we sent you.